My next guest says that a speech that Attorney General Loretta Lynch gave to the United Nations will go down in history as the tipping point of total global control, globalist control, I should say, over the streets and cities of the United States. Patrick Wood, the author of Technocracy Rising, the Trojan Horse of Global Transformation. Patrick, great to have you here.
How do you do? Nice to be back.
Yeah,
thank you.
Great to have you here once again. And what Loretta Lynch, our Attorney General, was talking about at the UN was this thing called the Strong Cities Network. Now, why is this the tipping point for total globalist control?
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, you have to watch what these people are doing all the time. Every time you turn around, there's some new outrageous thing that they're involved in. But the Strong Cities Network is that Loretta Lynch debuted at the United Nations a few days ago is actually not directly connected with United Nations at all. I found out that there is an organization called Strong Cities Network, went to their website, and clearly saw what they were all about. And the organization behind them was most interesting. And it was an organization called, I want to get this straight here so that I don't make any mistake on it.
Mm-hmm.
The Strong Cities Network, just coming up here, mm-hmm. is run by an organization called the Institute for Strategic Dialogue.
Okay.
It's an organization out of Great Britain. Its trustees include, about 60% of its trustees are members of the global banking community. You know, in other words, they're directly tied to the giant banks.
But let me ask you this. I mean, what's the goal of this network from your understanding?
It's to bring cities from the world together to fight what they call right-wing extremism. And
really, at the city level, they're fighting a political war?
Yes. And I have to say, this is not, when I say extremism, they're not fighting Islam. They're fighting people like, you know, the patriots in these various countries, the ones who would resist the government taking over everything. And so you've got, in America, you've got like Tea Party members, you've got constitutionalists, supporters of the Second Amendment, you know, organizations like Oath Keepers, Fundamental Christians.
And you're saying what city governments would begin to focus on these types of individuals, that kind of thing?
That's right. That's exactly right. That's the whole purpose of this.
And do what, though? What would they be actually doing to them?
Well, the idea is to suppress any dissent that might rise up against them and their particular, you know, their particular goals and stuff. Yeah. For instance, one of the things that the Institute for Strategic Dialogue writes about is about Islamophobia. And to them, anybody that doesn't like Islam or doesn't believe that Islam should be allowed to immigrate freely into their country,
yeah.
they're declared to be an Islamophobe.
How can that be? Globalists, what do they want Islam to expand somehow? Or?
Well, they do, and they have, and they do. That's been the policy, especially in Europe.
Yeah.
The head of immigration at the United Nations is a man by the name of Peter Sutherland. He's a former banker himself, but he's also the chairman or the honorary chairman of the Trilateral Commission in Europe, very powerful man.
Okay.
He talks about immigration, especially from Islamic countries, and he's beating up the countries individually in Europe. So you got to open your doors to these people, folks. You got to do it, because the only hope for a sustainable economy is that we have a pluralistic, racial, what do they call it, a multicultural society.
Right.
And that means that requires all of these other people to be immigrating into our nations.
Tell me, though, what do globalists think about Muslim extremism, though? What do they think about that?
They're apparently not too disturbed about it. This is a head scratcher. Mm-hmm. Even our own president and the State Department, the CIA, for instance, placed their bets on the worst of extremists in Syria, for instance, to fight against Assad,
right.
who certainly is not a good guy any more than Saddam Hussein was a wonderful man. But they have kept order in the country, and all of a sudden the Obama administration decides that Assad needs to go.
Right, now, and so, we have chaos. Do globalists, do they want chaos or some kind of perfect order? What is it?
Well, you know, it's producing a system of chaos, especially in Europe. Mm-hmm. It's breaking down the capitalism and free enterprise. It's breaking down democracy. And I think this is one of the overarching goals that these people have had for over 40 years, is to just literally take away the overlay of democracy,
right,
of a republic form of government, which we're supposed to have in this country.
And to what benefit, though? I mean, if you have chaos, what's the benefit to these globalists who are, I'm assuming, are these very wealthy individuals, right?
Well, they are. And here's the goal. I know it's like a shell game, but here's the goal. But Christiana Figueres, who is the head of climate change at the United Nations, climate change, of course, is being used to stampede people into sustainable development on a global basis. She let the cat out of the bag last February. She said, this is a direct quote from her press conference. She said, this is the first time in the history of mankind that we're setting ourselves the task of intentionally, within a defined period of time, mm-hmm, to change the economic development model that has been reigning for at least 150 years since the Industrial Revolution. That's a direct quote.
You mean the capitalist model, that one?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. She's suggesting that they're going to replace capitalism and free enterprise with this system of sustainable development. They
now,
also
is it the
green economy.
So tell me, so globalists are looking at the world and I guess our exploding population. Is that their concern, that we're just not, I mean, we just have too many people and they're trying to somehow bring order to this place, or what is it?
Well, they have stated clearly in the past and in current writings as well that the population of the world currently cannot be sustained,
mm-hmm,
in what they call their sustainable development model, that the resources of the world are in such great scarcity, which I personally don't believe, but they say this is such great scarcity that only about maybe 800 to 900 million people can really live a decent lifestyle on planet Earth.
Instead of what, 6 billion growing now? I don't know where we are exactly now, but...
Well, we're over 7 billion.
Over 7, okay.
The demographic curve in all of the Western nations at this point is just pointed straight down. And if it were not for some South American countries, well, like Mexico, for instance, and some South American countries, if it were not for the Mideast countries, which still has a fairly high birth rate,
mm-hmm,
demographics are going down. Population, in other words, in the world, are going down all over the world.
So you don't think we're really heading towards the crisis these globalists are envisioning?
Absolutely not. There's no evidence of it whatsoever, whether it be climate change, whether it be population explosion that they cry about all the time. These are straw men.
Now, tell me, between the Republicans and Democrats, do they have a different approach towards this globalist philosophy, or...?
Not at all. They don't at all. This has been a movement that's been completely above the political system in our country and others as well. And the original members, for instance, of this group called the Trilateral Commission, this group had no loyalty to any political party. They had as their members Republicans and Democrats and Independents and even Libertarians. They didn't care. And so over the last 40 years, we've seen every administration in our country push this doctrine of creating a new international economic order throughout the world and in our country as well.
Mm-hmm. And who's heading this effort? I mean, do we have a name of who that is? Or?
Well, you know, my original research in the Trilateral Commission in the late 1970s discussed the Trilateral Commission extensively. And these people are definitely the ones that have pervaded this over the years.
Mm-hmm.
But the ideology got passed off to the United Nations at least back in the mid-1980s. And the United Nations has been used as the contagion for sustainable development and for climate change, et cetera, all the things surrounding that.
They have pushed it out to all
nations of the world.
Are countries like China, are they going along with this, or...?
They absolutely are. They're lock, stock, and barrel and stuff with it.
They are, okay. So, and what what's going to keep them from getting their way at this point?
Well, unless somebody figures out a way to throw a monkey wrench in it, they look like they're going to get their way.
Tell me this, Patrick, because I'm trying to get a sense of it. What are you saying life will be like in America in 30 years as this moves forward? I mean, what is the difference really going to be here?
Well, where this is headed is towards scientific dictatorship. That is where we're controlled by a network of rules and regulations that are implemented by technology in our daily lives. Now, that still means people at the top are going to be writing the policies and the rules and the regulations, but once they're created, they're going to be set in stone via technology, and they're going to create a system of a scientific dictatorship where you can't move left or right. You will do what they tell you to do. They will continue to tighten the manacle around your neck
or else what? I mean, what are they going to kill us? Or?
Well, you just won't be able to do the things you want to do. You'll be basically a slave to the system.
Mm-hmm. Well, that doesn't are we close to that now? Are we still in the free world right now?
No, we're moving closer and closer to it every day. Europe has already virtually been consumed by it. China has certainly been consumed by it. And, you know, all the things that we have today in our country indicate that our choices of freedom are being taken away on a daily basis. So it's getting worse, not better.
Patrick Wood, the author of the book Technocracy Rising, the Trojan Horse of Global Transformation. And it's going to be all bad then. There's no silver lining on this, Patrick?
Well, if there's a silver lining, here's this. Americans need to wake up and start getting back into their local communities, driving this ideology out of their local communities. In other words, clean up your own house. And there's not a community in America that has not been touched by sustainable development, by smart growth, by smart grid. I mean, all kinds of things that come under this umbrella. People need to get out and clean up their own house and start from the ground up to work this stuff out of our society. It can be done. People should be encouraged to do it, but you can't get anywhere if you just sit on your couch and entertain yourself and cry out about national politics. Right. That's just not going to cut it right now.
Patrick Wood, the book, Technocracy Rising. Patrick, thanks.
You're Tyler, welcome. Yep.